Steve Kerr, they were playing Utah, and Steve Kerr pulled the didn't play the starters at all at the start of the fourth quarter. It was basically an even game, and it was the second to last game of the season, and he said, no, that's enough. We're getting ready for the playoffs, and Utah had this massive fourth quarter going up against the bench guys, and that was the only other loss until game four of the finals when they were already up 3-0, and then the Cavs blew them out before they came back to Oracle to clinch it. So they were very, I mean, it's funny, they were. I went back in hindsight and I thought, they were really close to winning 33 straight with 16 of them being playoff games.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm really sorry if this prediction is boring, but I'd rather be correct with it. I think what's going to happen this year is they're never going to have more than a two-game losing streak. And I think how many two-game losing streaks? I put it at two.
And then so no more than two-game losing streaks.
No more than two-game losing streaks. And then you're going to see the Warriors go 7 games, 8 games, 9 games, maybe a few double-digit winning streaks, and then you'll have a lay an egg or they'll lose a close one, and then all of a sudden they wake up. Let's not have that happen again. When they lose 2 games, it's going to really waken them up, and then they'll just blow whoever they're playing out the following game. So when you add up, what, two-game losing streaks, yeah, and a handful of one-game losses, you know, maybe what, I put it at 12, 13, 14 losses?
Yeah, I think they're in that.
So high 60s.
I think they're in that 65 to 67. I think they're in the 65 to 67 range in terms of wins, just based on the way. And again, injuries, we got a bunch of texts on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. A bunch of texts, well, injuries. What about injuries? Injuries, injuries, injuries. Well, yes, injuries would change it. If
right.
Kevin Durant has to miss 2 months, you know, between, you know, February and March, and he can, you know, or any of the headliners have to miss a significant portion of time, then obviously that's gonna lower the overall record, and it's also gonna put them, I think, in a position where at some point last year there were enough injuries to where, and the Rockets were playing well enough to where they just kind of said, oh, we're just not getting the one seed,
right?
Like, it's just shut her down and get to April.
Right. I remember there was a time, I think in January, when I asked Steve Kerr, how would you categorize the importance of home court advantage? And he was saying how it's very important. It sets the tone, and you just never know what happens in a 7-game series. And when I revisited that question to him like a month later, he was like, yeah, it's not really important at all. And that shows what you were talking about here, as far as, you know, there's so many different algorithms and factors that go into winning a title, and it's always going to be about health. And the good thing about the Warriors is it's sports. Things happen. You never know. But none of the All-Stars are entering the season with injuries, besides DeMarcus. I'm talking about the four All-Stars.
Right. We've seen how the four play out.
And they're in their prime. So it's not like there's things that they have to monitor. The only things that they have to monitor, which have already happened, is Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston. That's something that they already anticipated. And that'll be a thing where you're going to see Sean sitting out. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of rest games, back-to-backs. One or both of the two are sitting. But as far as the four All-Stars right now, there's no issues to worry about.
I'll tell you one thing I truly believe. The Warriors don't want to have to deal with any kind of conversations about records. I think that's – and they almost need to selectively pepper in a – like 9-1. 9-1's perfect. Not, you know, you go 9-1, you're no long winning streak. You lose every like 7-8 games, something like that. You know, maybe you lose a couple, you know, two in a rows, and then you don't have to be asked about records, because I think those can become a drain. And they said it, you know, a couple years ago when they were going for the all time wins record, they to a man embraced it. There came a point where they admitted they were going for it. I think they know the toll that it took on them, and I think they're in a position now where they'd rather almost drop a game here or there just to avoid any kind of conversation about records.
Right. Here's a thing that's very fascinating is some people in the Warriors are all about the end game, but one guy who isn't is the majority owner, Joe Lacob. I was talking to him earlier this offseason for some stories, and he brought up unsolicited, I think it's really important you get the number one seed. The whole idea of, you know, resting and pacing yourselves, I just don't like that whole idea.
I agree with him on the number one seed. To me, if you have home court advantage throughout the playoffs, including the finals, that is, for a team that's as talented as the Warriors, I think it provides an advantage that other teams almost can't overcome. Because you look at it, it's going to be tough to win at Oracle anyway, right? If you're the opponent. It's going to be tough to come in and steal a game at Oracle. Well, if you steal a game at Oracle, chances are the Warriors are so good they're going to win one game on the road too.
Yeah.
So it just the margin for error is basically you have to steal one at Oracle and you have to win all three of your home games and win the series essentially in six games. Like
right.
that's your path. We get into the playoffs, I always think of what's the path to winning a series. And if you don't have it, and we saw this with the Rockets last year, there's more margin for error. You're Houston, you don't have to win the first, you know, 1-1 coming back to Oracle, that's fine. You know what I mean? That's fine. Yes, you know you have to win a game at Oracle, but you're going to have three chances to win a game at Oracle.
Yeah.
And then it's back on track to where you're probably going to get the deciding game in your building, which they did. And as we all saw, that almost wound up being the difference in the series.
Right. 27 consecutive clanks from three. The Warriors are fortunate that the Rockets suddenly couldn't shoot, and they're all obviously fortunate that they have so many all-stars that can just flip it like that. But I still think at the end of the day, they're in a position to get it now, but I don't think that they're going to be exhausting every resource. I think that basically, totally. When you talk to the Warriors, they're going to say they want home court advantage if it's convenient for them. If all of a sudden during the latter parts of the season where they're battling injuries or maybe Houston or some other team is just off and running, I think the Warriors will just throw up the white flag and say, hey, it's not worth it for us to chase the sprint when we're competing in a marathon.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson and Mark Medina. Mark, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. He is here until 1 o'clock as this is Warriors This Week. Matt Steinmetz, another weekend off. Happy birthday to Matt's father, Steiny, back east for the 85th birthday of his pops. So some good stuff there. And we happy birthday to Steiny's pops as he heads back east for a couple of days. He is going to be back on this program next week right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors and the Grizzlies coming up on Monday night. A rare weekend off for the Warriors in terms of games. They've got the day off today. They'll be back at practice tomorrow before taking on the Grizzlies on Monday night at Oracle Arena. Mark, what did you make of the whole shoot-around thing? The first canceled shoot-around, and I know the Warriors have different protocols, you know, when they're on the road. If they go east, they'll fly and then practice. And if they're going to practice later, a lot of times they don't have shoot-around on the day of the game on the road. But Steve Kerr had said there's going to be points where at home, on instances where they normally would have a shoot-around, yesterday would be an example of that, not a back-to-back or anything like that. Some of them are going to get canceled along the way. Last night was the first one that got canceled. What do you think of the whole process there?
Well, it's not surprising. Steve Kerr was saying that Chris DeMarco brought it up as a suggestion because they had been on the road for a while. He thought they could use the rest. And Steve Kerr trusts Chris DeMarco's judgment. Now, the danger of that is when he throw it out there before a game, and if they don't play well, do you say, oh, it's because they didn't play shoot-around? I don't know if there was really a cause and effect from the performance, but I think it actually illustrates that, yeah, they can afford to skip a shoot around every now and then. And I think that also you look at the schedule here, they have a day off today because they don't play until Monday against Memphis. So I think he was trying to chart it out where if you get consecutive days, it allows yourself to rest some more. And now I do need to qualify.
It's like the
no shoot around applies to the All-Stars and Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston. All the everyone else, they're doing everything as normal. I know there was a time Jordan Bell has shared this story that there was an off day last year and he thought, okay, I'm chilling in my hotel. And then the guys are getting on him. He's like, the off days don't apply to you at all. So the young guys are still doing work.
Yeah, and Coach Kerr said last night that, you know, half the team was there anyway.
Right.
Yesterday. But I think anytime you can keep the media away, Mark, the evil media.
That's probably what it was.
Anytime you can get away with keeping the evil media away, I think you want to do it, especially with this team. Because right. there's always something to ask.
Right.
There's always something.
There's always me just poking and poking and poking.
It's all you. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're crushing everyone.
Yeah.
You're crushing everyone.
So many hot takes.
888-957-9570. We'll get to some of your phone calls coming up here. Warriors this week. Gary St. Jean joins us as well. Coming up at 10:30, it's John Dickinson, Mark Medina here on 95.7 The Game.
Curry to McKinney. He'll launch and swish a three. A rainbow three right in front of head coach Steve Kerr. And it's 32-23 Warriors.
I just like that he's getting more comfortable. He's shooting three with confidence. That's what I like the most. You know, the offensive rebounding and defending, playing hard every possession, that's natural to him.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Mark Medina, the Bay Area News Group, with you here on a Saturday morning until 1 o'clock. We're doing some shuffling around here.
Yeah? What are we doing?
Super producer Mark Medina, 95.7 The Game, booking the guests and moving people around. You're natural, my man. You're a natural.
I'm multitasking.
Multitasking during the show. I'm looking around. I'm thinking, Mark, I need you to talk, buddy. You're on your phone. What are we doing here? But you were helping to line up a guest, and Willie Green is going to join us, Warriors assistant coach, in about 10 minutes here at 10:30 as we shuffle around. And I thought it was interesting during the break. You're like, yeah, well, what if we're supposed to have Gary St. Jean on? You said, well, we'll get Willie on now, and we'll try and move Saint to later on. I'm thinking, Mark, you just co-host. Beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, producer.
Sorry for exerting my authority and undermining everyone here.
Producer, this is good stuff. You're scheduling segments. It all ties together here. Good stuff, buddy.
Hey, well, I figured the Warrior fans can only take my voice for so long.
That's
so
a fact.
I don't want to tune them out when I am talking.
That's an absolute 100% fact. Let's get to Gene in Oakland. Gene is up next here on the phone lines. On 95.7 The Game. Gene, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Yeah.
First of all, quickly, you know, I'm an engineer, and I really appreciate, Mark, you weaving the word algorithm into your sports talk, so thanks for that.
Anyway, I had a dictionary with
me. You know, it's for the coming... What's that?
I said I had a dictionary with me.
Oh, all right. Anyways, so as far as the coming season, you know, I'm seeing this team more like around 60 to 65 wins. I'm trying to be conservative, but, you know, look, they're a veteran team, all right? They start off the year with a much better attitude than they did last year, and that's great, and they also seem to be healthier. But, you know, you can already see kind of what's coming up with Iggy and Livingston, you know. Having problems, you know, they're starting to break down. They're 33, 34. So, you know, you're going to get, I think, more limited time from them. And at the same time, you know, I think Green is starting to show some signs of wear and tear. And so you're not going to get 100% Green 100% of the time. That's going to make a difference. Finally, you know, these other teams are catching up. And we got, you know, now we got Toronto and Boston. I think they're really going to challenge teams like Utah and Denver. They're all catching up to us. So overall, I mean, I see us probably 60-65 and winning the title, but I think this might be the end of it this year. Once we lose one of those core guys and these other teams get better, so we better enjoy it for what it is.
Thanks, Gene. Appreciate the phone call. Look, I think at times Warriors fans, they get carried away with what this could be even years from now, because you look at the way the last 4 years have been, and it's three championships, and the year they didn't win the championship, they're in game seven, and they broke the all-time wins record. And I think there's a certain portion of Warriors fans that think it's just never going to end. It's just Curry's going to be this level for another 5 years, and Durant's going to stay. And Klay Thompson already has, you know, alluded to the fact that he's going to stay multiple times, and Draymond Green's going to get re-upped, and it's just going to, and they're going to find the next star, you know, to join the group at some point. And money is just endless, and it's never going to end. I think if you're a Warriors fan, though, Mark, and they win another championship, and they three-peat, and they win 4-5, and again, the one year they don't win it is the scenario he just laid out where it's game seven and there's some circumstances that go with it. I don't think you'd take that, is my point, if you're a Warriors fan. You would take that and say, if it had to end, wow, that was incredible.
Right. It's like Vegas. When you have the hot hand and you ride it and then you cash out, you enjoy it while it lasts because you know at some point it won't. But here's the thing. The thing about the Warriors is it's not like we're talking about other teams, you know, the 2004 Lakers or the 98 Bulls, where you knew, okay, these guys are at the tail end, or either not getting along with each other or they're old. Right now, all these guys are still in their prime. Steph and Kevin are 30. Klay Thompson and Draymond Green are 28. There is that unknown of, does Kevin Durant stay or go? So that could be the first domino that falls. But Klay Thompson has told me and others time and time again, he wants to stay here. I don't see him going anywhere. I think Draymond's going to stay. And when I've asked Joe Lacob about the whole idea of what's his level of investment in keeping this core together and at what cost, he's made it abundantly clear that luxury taxes are not going to be a factor with keeping this core together, and he's willing to keep the core together as long as they keep winning and stay healthy. And right now, I know that obviously Draymond had some injuries last year, but there's nothing that's debilitating that's season-ending and long-term.
Yeah, or career-changing.
Yeah.
You know, every guys will have career-changing, you know, career-altering injuries.
Right.
You know, DeMarcus Cousins' injury could be, we don't know, it depends on how he bounces back, but we could look back in 2 years and say, wow, that Achilles injury altered DeMarcus Cousins' career.
Right. And as far as Kevin goes, no one around the team truly knows where he's going to go. In fairness to him, he doesn't know where he's going to go. But I talked with him for a good bit before they went to New York, because we knew all the questions about free agency were going to come up.
Right.
And what does he think about playing for the Knicks? And Kevin didn't want to go down the whole free agency talk, but he talked about his time with the Warriors and some of maybe the pivot points last year where you wonder on the surface, was there any source of contention? And I brought up, you know, the Western Conference Finals when he was shooting the ball a lot, going in ISO and not shooting the ball well toward the end of the series. Were there any selfish motivations at all in play? And he said, hell no, like that's total BS. He mentioned that there wasn't any infighting. It was all like an X's and O's puzzle that the team was trying to figure out, because he said for the first time ever, the Warriors had to think on offense with this rocket switch heavy defense. And so it was just a puzzle for them to figure out. When he won finals MVP, there were a lot of Steph Curry fans that were upset at him. They're upset at me because I was one of the voters that said Kevin Durant should get finals MVP, but Steph Curry wasn't upset, and he cleared it up with him in the locker room immediately when they won the championship. And there's just is this ongoing daily dialogue that Kevin Durant has with Bob Myers and Steve Kerr and with his teammates, where even if he's not saying, hey, I'm leaning this way or the other, he's talking about how important it is for him to feel comfortable, for there to be collaboration, for there to be so much synergy from top to bottom, that if you're connecting the dots, if he's going to leave the Warriors, it has nothing to do with any issues here. And that's where I'm hedging my bets that he's going to at least sign another one-year deal here next season to have the opportunity to win another title, experience Chase Center, and then see what else happens. But I don't want to say I'd be surprised if he leaves the Warriors, but if I had to guess, I think he stays.
John Dickinson, Mark Medina with the Warriors this week here on 95.7. The game, Warriors assistant coach Willie Green is going to join us coming up in just a moment here on 95.7. The game. I think the bigger picture with Durant is you want this season, regardless of what happens with him, you don't want this season to be affected by what comes in the future.
Right.
And I think that's to your point, the synergy about the make it about the basketball this season. Be all in to where there's nothing about what's going to happen down the line that seeps in and becomes a factor with this team this year. And I think that's kind of what you're coming from, if I'm reading the tea leaves correctly,
yeah.
As far as, no, it's about basketball. And look, you handle July in July. You know, you handle or the end of June at the end of June after a championship or a parade or whatever. You try to worry about it then, even though it's going to be asked about. And I'm sure there's going to be reports that he's interested in this, and that team's interested in him. And, I mean, that stuff isn't going away.
Every team is interested in him.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. So I talked with Joe Lacob during training camp, and he went on record saying, I think Durant's coming back. Like, I don't see what all the, you know, the hype is about, this uncertainty. He's always signed one-year deals with us. The people around the Warriors don't know, but the overriding theme when you talk to Joe Lacob and Bob Myers is it's not like they're going to be putting on this recruiting show for him. Like, hey, we're going to do this for you, so we hope that you stay. Like, they have a good thing going. They've been winning two championships. He's got two finals MVPs, but it's not even so much of, hey, Kevin, look at the trophies, count the rings. They've just been having all this ongoing dialogue that they don't feel like they need to do anything or change anything. Like, Bob Myers basically likened the whole idea to dating. Like, if you want to have a successful date and a successful relationship, it's bad if you're trying to put on a show, because eventually your true colors will emerge. So it's all about just being authentic and being the same guy organization that you really were. So it's not like they're going to be planting whispers in his ear or doing these little gestures to make him feel special. I think it's basically do what we've been always doing these past years, because he's been happy up to this point.
If I said to you, Durant back or not, and it's greater than 50-50, it's greater than 50-50, which way? That he's back or that he's not?
It's greater 50, it's greater that he's back, but okay. To be honest, I have no idea. The only thing I'm willing to guarantee,
we're
which
just
I've
talking.
Said.
We're just talking.
Right.
It's not, this is
I'm
going to
get aggregated.
This is not sources, you know, tell Mark Medina.
I'm getting aggregated, I'm sure. What I will say, I'm willing to guarantee that he's not going to the Lakers. There's no scenario with that.
You're guaranteeing that
guaranteeing
right now?
It. And I've already said it, but I'm willing to say it again. He's not going to the Lakers, because if there is a factor that drives him to leave the Warriors, maybe it's because of the whole criticism of, hey, you took the easy way out, which is dumb because it requires him to sacrifice. It requires the Warriors players to sacrifice.
So you think the Lakers are out because would be considered doing that again.
Right. And also, I don't think he wants to play with LeBron James. Like, look, he likes LeBron. He has a good relationship with him. He has a lot of respect for him. But the reality is he wants to compete against him for titles, number one. And then number two, there's going to be a narrative that's pushed, whether it's a combination of from LeBron or fans or the media or all the above, that he's playing second fiddle to LeBron. LeBron's showing him the way. Look, Kevin Durant's been in the league since 2007. He's won two NBA titles. He's been the finals three times. He's won finals MVP. Like, LeBron doesn't need to be a mentor to him. And I think the way, take Kevin Love, for example, the way that LeBron handled Kevin Love, where it was tough love. Sometimes he would send these coded messages on social media. Just knowing how Kevin Durant operates, I don't think he plays that way, and he wouldn't like that form of leadership. So we can already X out the Lakers. Maybe the Lakers don't want to hear that, and Magic Johnson or Rob Pelinka still want to make that phone call, but I don't think it will work.
Well, they'll make the phone call for sure.
Yeah, they'll make the phone call.
I mean, as long as
he's not going to go anywhere.
As long as he becomes free, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to make the phone call.
Yeah, but 29 teams are in play. The Lakers aren't.
I mean, the Sacramento Kings would love to get Kevin Durant, and they're going to have cap space, and they're off to a 6-3 start.
There you go.
So, I mean, think about it.
The recruiting has already started.
And the biggest hole in their roster is small forward.
There you go.
So, I mean, hey, is he just... Go, look at you.
I love it.
I couldn't even say it with a straight face, and you just
You're going to get aggravated that the Kings are in play.
Well, Kings would love to be in play. There's no doubt. The Kings, and like you say, every other team in the NBA would love to be in play. If I had to pin you down and say, give me the top three teams we're talking about as far as teams where he's going to go.
Yeah.
Is it Knicks, Lakers? And I know you're throwing the Lakers out, but if it's Knicks and Lakers, what would the third team be? Not the Warriors, obviously.
Man.
Because those are the two teams that
to
have
be
come
honest,
up a lot.
I can only think of the Warriors and the Knicks. I mean, maybe
who's the mystery team?
Maybe OKC, a comeback there, but the thing is they don't have cap space right now. So they would have to get
trade their whole team.
They would have to get some kind of signal that he would be serious about reconsidering. And also Russell Westbrook would have to sign back on board and not be, you know, so dismissive toward him for leaving. Maybe that would be a scenario, but I think when it comes down to it, it's between the Warriors and the Knicks.
All right. Warriors, Knicks.
But
I'm
taking the Warriors.
You're Warriors, Knicks, but you're taking the Warriors.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
There's this owner named James Dolan who, when I'm talking about all the collaboration and synergy, he doesn't have that.
All right. Let's get to our next guest. It's an absolute pleasure to be joined by Warriors assistant coach Willie Green. Willie joins us here on 95.7 The Game. You're on with John Dickinson and Mark Medina. Willie, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing really well. What has been the difference these first 10 games? Because, you know, last year it was all about the grind and the slog, and I know there were injuries that factored into it. But what's made the difference in terms of the energy and the spirit that this team is playing with that maybe wasn't there for good portions of the regular season a year ago?
Yeah, I think the guys guys came back ready. Steph is in unbelievable shape. Kevin, you know, played a lot of basketball this summer. Clay, I think Draymond was the only guy that kind of had a slow start with sort of his injuries, doing his rehabilitation, but he's even picking it up. So, and we understand that the importance of getting off to a good start and, you know, building our confidence throughout the course of the season.
Hey, Willie, Mark Medina here. Good to chat with you this morning.
Good to chat with you too, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Well, thanks for popping on. I was wondering, the Warriors have had such a good thing going, and they have these four all-stars, but particularly with this start, you've seen in a week span of time of, you know, Steph dropping 51 against Washington and Kevin Durant having 41 against the Knicks, 25 in the fourth quarter, Klay Thompson setting the NBA three-point record with 14 against Chicago. That stretch of games, what moments, plays kind of stick with you the most as you're seeing those all-stars do their thing?
You know what, Mark? I honestly have to pinch myself sometimes. You know, we're watching history, and you know, I have to remind myself of, like, even though we see this often, we see these guys shoot and we see them perform and we see great performances from all of those guys. It's history. These guys are making history, and I don't know if it's one particular game or one particular quarter, but it's just amazing to watch how skilled they are. But, you know, I get to see them in practice, and they put in hours and hours of work to continue to be this great. It's amazing.
Willie, and we're talking with Willie Green here on 95.7, the Game Warriors assistant coach. Draymond Green, you know, Steve said last night after the game that he, in his mind, Draymond is playing as well as he has during Steve's time here. And I know you haven't been here the full time that Steve has been here, but where do you put Draymond's play right now? Because, I mean, his imprint was all over the game against the Pelicans on Wednesday, and then he basically took the game over when you guys went on that run in the fourth quarter and late third quarter. What has gotten into Draymond Green at the beginning of this season?
You know what it is he's, like I said, he got off to a slow start. Draymond was battling injuries all last year, and so he spent the big part of the summer getting his body, you know, back feeling good and back into shape, and it took him a little while throughout the preseason. He missed almost all of preseason. So we're starting to see Draymond, you know, become his normal self and get into his stride. And we need his defense. We need his energy, his emotional energy for our team. The guy is a beast on anybody, and he locks people down, and he anchors our defense. And so we're starting to see that right now, especially the last four or five games.
Hey, Willie, Mark Medina here. So we've seen Alphonso McKinney's emergence ever since training camp with, you know, getting on the roster, getting the rotation, playing in some crunch time minutes. And, Willie, I'm just wondering from your perspective when you reflect on your playing career where, you know, you've had so many different roles and you play on different teams and you're trying to find a niche, how has Alphonso been able to do that just given the parameters of being a new guy and trying to fit in with all these all-stars where he's found a way to make an impact on the game and hit some threes when it's open? How has he been able to approach all those things?
First, I'm just super proud of this kid. You know, he came into camp. I don't think any of us, like, knew what to expect, but he just played his butt off every day. So, first the credit goes to him, working extremely hard. And, he had some tools that we liked. And shout out to Chris DeMarco. He's working with him every day on his, player development skills and, you know, making sure he sees the action. So when he gets in the game, it's becoming more natural for him. The guys are rallying around him. And he's just a great, great kid to have on our team, and he has a tremendous upside. So it's just good to see a young guy like that be able to come into, you know, our games and be fearless, pretty much.
Willie Green joining us here on 95.7 The Game, Warriors this week. It's John Dickinson, Mark Medina with you until 1 o'clock here. Willie, I got to ask you, what goes into now? The schedule comes out, and you guys are off today, right? No practice today. But I got to ask you, what is an off day like for an assistant coach in the NBA? And what is an off day like for maybe certain players on the roster? Is there ever really an off day for an assistant coach?
Get one every blue moon, and honestly, today just happens to be that one. But we really don't take a lot of off days. You know, we still come in. We have some guys that, you know, maybe didn't play a lot of minutes, and we'll try to get all those guys together, and you know, get some extra work in, keep them sharp, keep them ready. Not a long time, because we do want them to enjoy, you know, the day. That's one of our models is joy. We want them to have fun. You know, in work, outside of work. So normally we typically come in on an off day, though.
Well, Willie, I appreciate and honored that you're willing to spend some time on the off day with us here. I've been wondering, Willie, because not only today have you been busy, but this whole summer you were busy coaching the Warriors Summer League team. And so you had a window into Damian Jones and Jordan Bell and Jacob Evans. And I was wondering, obviously all those guys have different roles right now, where Damian's been the starting center while DeMarcus Cousins has been out. Jordan Bell's been getting some playing time here or there. Obviously Jacob Evans is a rookie and finding his way. But what did you see from all those three players in Summer League, and how has it applied so far in the early returns from what you've seen with all those three guys?
Well, the first thing that I saw was that our scouting department, our management department did a great job in picking, you know, these guys. Damian 3 years ago, Jordan a couple years, and now Jacob last draft. And all of these guys fit into what we try to do as a team. They're big. They can guard multiple positions. They can play multiple positions. They're great people on and off the floor. And, you know, it's easy. It makes it easy for us to come in and work with these guys every day. So what I'm seeing the most is that they're just learning. They're learning and getting better every day, every year. You see Damian is getting better and better each week. Jordan is going to be Jordan. Jordan attacks the ball. He's all over the place on the floor. So we just want to continue to these young guys to learn from our veterans, but when they get the opportunity to take advantage of it.
Willie, final question for you. You say that sometimes you pinch yourself when you look at the greatness on the floor with what Curry and Klay Thompson and Durant and Draymond Green are able to do. What do you do when you see DeMarcus Cousins working out at practice after you guys are done and think, wait a minute, he's on our team?
That actually happened to me maybe 2 days ago. That, you know, we were in the gym and guys were shooting, and then DeMarcus came out after everybody was finished. I said, wow. You know, Steph, Klay, KD, Draymond, Andre, Sean, and DeMarcus he'll be back soon too. So it's amazing. It's amazing the talent that's on his team, but even more than the talent is the character that we have. I mean, it's absolute joy to work with these guys, and every day I'm thrilled. We're all thrilled to go in and get better.
Well, Willie, we appreciate the time, man, especially on one of those true off days. We'll let you get out and enjoy it. Thanks a lot for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, Willie Green, Warriors assistant coach here on 95.7 The Game. I'll admit, I've done the same thing, just covered practice, where you get in, it's kind of the same thing every day as far as what you see. You know, Durant's getting up shots, and Curry's getting up shots, and Klay's down on the other basket. But sometimes I've forgotten, you know, that DeMarcus is there until you actually see him working out. And I just think, my goodness, this is just an embarrassment of riches.
Right, and we've been seeing him more recently because about 2 weeks ago, or no, this past week, he was cleared to do some team drills non-contact. So I remember practice on Thursday, he was doing some 4-on-4. Actually, Willie Green was one of the participants. It's non-contact, so it's not like you're seeing a true game, but it's all about getting DeMarcus's conditioning back. But I do want to caution Warrior fans, his return is not imminent. Not only do they not have a timetable on when he's going to play a game, they don't have a timetable on when he's going to go full contact. So
it's a ways away. It's a ways away. It's not, you know, the day after Thanksgiving or Christmas or, you know, but it's also not the All-Star break either.
Right.
I think it's probably going to wind up being somewhere in between those two. If I had to guess, I would just say January.
Yeah, that
would be my guess.
That
whole
sounds
month.
Good.
Maybe at the beginning, maybe at the end, but I would just say January as all. Our thanks to Willie Green. It's John Dickinson, Mark Medina. Michael Thompson is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get into some of the drama going on down in L.A. Warriors this week with J.D. and Mark Medina, 95.7 The Game.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
95.7 The Game is the home of the NFL, and tomorrow we're bringing you a beast of a doubleheader starting at 1 p.m. Demaryius Thomas makes his return to Denver. It's like he never left, just traded this week as the Texans face the Broncos. And then at 4:30, it's Brady versus Rodgers. That's right, the Patriots and the Packers, and you can hear both of those games right here only on 95.7 The Game, so keep it locked. Tomorrow, no NBA tomorrow. The Raiders and 49ers played on Thursday night, so we've got you covered as far as an NFL doubleheader with the Broncos and the Texans and the Pats and Packers. A really good Sunday night game tomorrow, and we'll have it for you right here on 95.7 The Game. It's John Dickinson, Mark Medina, Warriors This Week with you until 1 o'clock. Michael Thompson is going to come up with us and join at 11 o'clock. What the hell's going on with the Lakers?
What is going on?
We'll get his thoughts on that, and also just Klay Thompson's start to the season. Michael always has tremendous insight on what's going on, obviously, with his son, Klay.
And he has a lot of advice all the time that he gives to Klay. And now I don't know if Klay actually listens to it or not, but Michael always shares it for what it's worth.
Yeah, no, he's terrific. And I know you know Michael well from your time in Los Angeles, and he's always tremendous when he comes on the program. Mark, you're taking some heat on the text line, the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795, 408 chiming in. Mark just woke up, brah. Sounds like it, at least.
I was trying to defer to you. I didn't want to interrupt your hosting duties here. I was fully awake and engaged.
Yeah, you've got a lot of energy. You've got Warriors level energy.
Yeah, I'm also trying to pace myself, but I also didn't want to interrupt you.
Question? and that's fine. So you know, that's sometimes you interrupt. That like that happens. Like it's okay.
I'll interrupt you.
You don't want to be step exactly.
I'll interrupt you so you can't finish your.
Don't want to step on. You don't want to step on somebody to a point where.
Like
they
right
lose
now.
Their train of thought.
Right.
But it's, you know, you're eager to be here. I'm happy to have you here. There's going to be a little bit of that
all right,
here
well,
and there.
There you go. I interrupted you right now. I am awake.
And it's not crushing the show.
Okay.
It doesn't make the show unlistenable. We're just two guys having a conversation.
I'm the new guy trying to fit in.
Absolutely. It's all good. 510, why is Quinn Cook not playing? Matchups? Well, I think the reason Quinn Cook's not playing is because Alphonso McKinney's been so good.
That is true. Now, the thing is that was a little bit surprising is Sean Livingston's been missing the past three games, and there was a thought that because of how good Quinn Cook played last season, that he was going to have a bigger role. But as we all know with Steve Kerr, his end of the rotations are always fluid. So he's going to be playing at some point, and I think it hasn't been so much of a matchup thing. It has to do more with Alphonso McKinney, but that is going to change soon. And to Quinn Cook's credit, he hasn't been pouting. I've noticed after a few DMPs, after the game, he goes back onto the court to get some shots up. So he has the maturity and the professionalism for this not to be a thing. But he'll get some PT soon.
And I think what also happens with fans is, again, it's first world problems. It's this team's 9-1.
It's a fair question,
I was wondering the same thing. The headliners are playing great, right? And Livingston's out, as you said, and I think it becomes, you know, what's going on with Jordan Bell? What's going on with Quinn Cook? Because the Warriors are so good.
Yeah, this text from the 415 really rung a bell, and I think it was a good point. He said, guys, the main reason Golden State dropped more games last season is Curry missed 30 games. All this stuff about energy and complacency is nonsense. He did bring up a good reminder, but it's not an either-or construct. But to that person's point, They lost 10 of their last 17 games to close out the season. And I think it was a combination of that.
It was multiple guys out.
You had complacency, and then you had overlapping injuries to all the All-Stars. So no doubt injuries, health played a factor as well. And I think that also illustrates the Warriors' start, where there aren't injuries, but also they're not kind of slogging into the regular season. Everyone's fully rested and engaged. Yeah, but all those things go together.
You go back to some of the Warriors, the box scores from March and April leading up to the playoffs last year, and I think you'll be blown away at who wasn't playing in a lot of those games. I mean, there were some starting lineups that made you go, wow, at times last year.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing was, I was wondering that toward the end of the season. Like, throughout the year, I was always understanding of the end game into a long season, but one of the talking points that they had was, hey, it's about how you play entering the postseason, and they were not playing well at all, and I wondered to what degree will those elements catch up to them. And let's not forget that Steph Curry missed the first round of the playoffs against the Spurs. He didn't come back until the series against New Orleans, so there was that question of how do they adjust without Steph in the lineup, and then once he's integrated, is he going to be 100% Steph? Is there going to be another, you know, ankle or knee injury that he's going to have to monitor? So there are a lot of fair question marks of wondering, hey, is this dent in the Warriors' armor going to wind up leaving them vulnerable? And it wound up not being a thing.
What do you think of Curry and Durant at this stage, now year three playing together? Because I think... I don't want to, figured it out is probably too strong, because I think they had figured it out before. But as far as those two, you know, Curry being able to be the dominant attacker, let's say, on offense and get what he needs and do the things he needs to do to thrive and to have others in the offense thrive, coupled with Durant's ability to just get his. It seems like those two are more on the same page maybe than they've ever been in the regular season. In the playoffs, the Warriors have found the balance, I think, because they've had to. And some of it, you know, going back a couple years ago, was, you know, they put them in pick and roll together against Cleveland, and they just torched Cleveland that way. But it seems like they've, whether Curry's just more comfortable or they're more comfortable with each other, the play on the floor has allowed both of them to get theirs.
Yeah, now I will caution this, that it's not like you're sitting in the meetings and you're there in the locker room. And I think the thing that keeps me humble is in this business is you don't know what you don't know, but I've never sensed there being any kind of like personality conflicts or tensions with the roles. When you looked at that Houston series last year where Kevin took a lot of shots, part of that had to do with Steph opening the series, shooting a combined 2 of 13 from 3-point range. So it was a matter of, okay, his shot's not falling, Clay's shot isn't falling, I'm going to try to be the answer. And then it wound up working, but then later in the series, it wasn't. And that switch-heavy defense really threw him off. And when I talked with Kevin Durant, that conversation I referred to earlier, he was saying throughout that whole series, there weren't any issues. Everyone had each other's back. They were just having dialogue of how do they figure this puzzle out together. Finals MVP, same thing. Steph went up to him and congratulated him and made sure to let Kevin know that he didn't think it was an issue. And the really cool thing that you see this year is even when Steph is having his night or Kevin's having his night, it's not the expense at the other. So, you know, Steph is having 51 points against Washington. Well, guess what? Kevin Durant is still scoring a bunch load of points. I mean, I'm looking here. He had, what, 30 points that night? And then the next game, they play New York. Kevin has 41, and Steph is still getting 29.
And so he played very well in the first quarter. Steph kind of took the first quarter of
right.
that game over.
It's not an either-or. They're both getting their own, and they both know when it's time for Kevin to do his thing in the mid-range and the post and the occasional three, and then when it's time for Steph to throw all those 30-footers that all go in.
Michael Thompson will join us coming up in just a few moments. If you have any questions for Mark, Mark Medina, the Bay Area News Group Warriors beat writer, second year on the beat, covered the Lakers for a number of years previously down in Southern California. The Chilton Auto Body text line, feel free to text him in. Join us on the phone lines as well at 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's wonderful to have you know, somebody with the resources and the access that Mark has. I mean, he's one of the few guys that's around this team home and away on a daily basis. So if you want to chime in and ask Mark any of your Warriors questions between now and 1 o'clock, we'll kind of pepper them in as we go on that Chilton Auto Body text line.
Looking forward to it. I'm sure I might get some trolling questions from Laker fans as well.
Why did you leave? And why did you go to Golden State?
And let's be honest. I mean, the text line can be a little mean-spirited at times. The 650, proving that point right here. I don't want Cook playing. His defense is terrible. That's a little harsh and mean-spirited. I'm not sure Steve Kerr necessarily disagrees with you, though, at this point.
Well, yeah, Steve has told... Steve has told Quinn to improve his defense, but I think... He said, improve your defense, not that your defense is terrible. But, yeah, the main thrust of one of the reasons why he hasn't been playing is they think Alphonso McKinney's defense is better.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game. It's KGMZ FM and HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. And it's a pleasure to be joined by two-time NBA champion, Lakers broadcaster, and also host ESPN Los Angeles down south, and father of Clay Thompson. Michael Thompson joins us here on 95.7 The Game. Michael, thanks for joining us. You're on with John Dickinson and old friend Mark Medina here on 95.7 The Game. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing good, although I could be better if the Lakers were 5-3 and not 3-5.
Yeah, Michael, what's going on with the Lakers these days?
Well, we can score like most teams in the league, but we're not defending consistently, and that's why we're 3-5 instead of being 6-2, possibly 5-3. We haven't been able to close out games, especially defensively, and that's why we're struggling so far. So we got to get healthy, and we better start tonight here in Portland.
Yeah. And Michael, what do you think of you know what's going on now? The reports yesterday, Magic Johnson brings Luke Walton in and kind of puts him on notice a little bit that things have to change. Where do you come down on all of that? Is it too soon? Is it just the right time? Is it overblown? Give us your read on that whole situation.
Probably a little bit overblown. Everybody knows we're better than 3-5. And I know it's early, but you don't want to be 3-7 on Monday because we lose to the Blazers tonight, and then we got tough Portland, tough Toronto team coming in tomorrow. So, Yogi Berra used to say, it's getting late early, you know, if that makes any sense. So we got to be above 500 by next weekend, and it has to start tonight.
Hey, Michael, I was wondering, I mean, you played with Magic Johnson, obviously. What's he like as a leader? I mean, were there times where he would be yelling at you guys as well as, I guess, what came out of this meeting where his tone was a little stern to Luke?
Magic wasn't a yeller, but he was very stern. He was very demanding, and because, you know, he played with some Hall of Famers, so who's going to yell at Kareem? You know, come on now, let's not go crazy. Oh, who's going to yell at Michael Cooper? But Magic expected us to be ready to play, not take any nights off, don't go through the motions just because we're a good team. We didn't win all the time. We lost, and sometimes we'd play bad, but Magic would never tolerate guys not...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.